Because
he didn't know how to run the clock.
Well, the game would get going, and they'd start playing, and I'd look up, and I said to Broyhill, hey, look, Victor's dad hasn't even started the clock yet. And a lot of times on timeouts and junk, when the clock was supposed to start,
just keep running,
the clock wouldn't start, and vice versa. Uh-huh. One time when I thought, you know, we should have a lot of time left, I looked up and it's like, I said, has the clock been running for the last 3 minutes? And, you know, and Victor's dad said they're real proud, though. You know,
right.
Looking at me like ancient Chinese secret. Looking at me like, I got it done for you, coach. But it was real nice, and right. I like meeting with Victor and his family. And
sure.
I got done with that, and I got Bart. And then we went, and we picked up a pal of Bart's, mm-hmm. Another friend of his, who was going to go spend the weekend with us.
Okay.
So now I've been with my kid all day, which I love, mm-hmm. but listen, like everything, you need a little break after a while.
Sure.
It's been all day. It's been the courtship of Eddie's father. It was me and him all day, then the basketball, then we went and we picked up his friend, and then we made the 3-hour drive to Ocean City. So about 8:30, we arrived up in Ocean City, and mm-hmm. the whole way up, I've got Bart and his friend back and forth in the backseat.
Yeah.
Amazing. How much you learn about your kid by simply eavesdropping.
Listening to his conversation with one of his contemporaries.
Yeah, uh-huh. And a lot of it is you're having to pick up things mm-hmm. because kids, no matter how old they are, they always speak in their own language. And
lingo.
They have abbreviated sentences, and they knew that I was kind of listening. So they would say something, then they'd laugh, and I'd see them each looking down, and they're writing notes. And I'm trying to listen and figure out, you know, and every once in a while I'd say, hey, what are you guys talking about? They go, nothing. Nothing. I'd say, talking about school? Oh, a little bit, Dad. A little bit. Then as soon as I would pay attention, it would get silence.
Silence and then maybe a little snicker here and there. As they're going,
yeah.
He's listening.
Yeah. And then it would start up again.
Right. Did you pick anything out of that during your eavesdropping? Which, I do the same thing. Did you get anything good?
I got some stuff.
Right.
First off, they all call each other by their last names.
Okay.
Nobody in this school calls each other by their first names.
Okay.
Okay. Because mm-hmm. that was the first thing I said. I said, well, don't you guys know these guys' first names? I said, yes, Dad. You know, I got that tone. Yes, Dad.
Right.
And then I saw that Bart had something drawn on his hand, which was like a square with some kind of a circle in the middle.
Oh, my God. He's gangbanging.
Well.
No. Satan worshiping.
I said to him, what is that on your hand? And he said, Dad, I am circle inside square. What is it? I said, Matt, that's his friend. Matt, let me see your hand. And I said, what are you? I am yellow box in square.
Wow, this is pretty heavy stuff here.
I couldn't figure, you know, all this time I'm trying to drive the car 60 miles an hour.
Are they playing a little game?
No, it's something to do with school.
Really?
Yeah. I think it might be like a gang, but I think it's a safe gang. So I didn't worry about it.
Gang.
Yeah, I didn't worry about it. I don't think there's a lot of roughies in this gang.
Polite gang.
Right, so finally got up to the beach.
Are you sure that's like drawing on his hand? I mean, he hasn't done
it washed off.
Those prison tattoos or anything.
It washed off.
Like all of a sudden he comes down to breakfast, he's got a teardrop or something like that.
No. Although a tattoo is the number one item that I get asked about, more so even than an earring or some type of a piercing now.
Wow.
Dad, just a little one. Just on my ankle, Dad.
Oh, man.
And, you know, and that's when it really makes me feel like the old man, because that's when I have to say, when you're 18,
mm-hmm.
you can do whatever you want.
I think it's a smart move. And hopefully you just hope and pray, fall on your knees, that by 18 he's not going to have like every part of his body pierced or something.
Well,
like that.
I wouldn't mind. You know, right now I wouldn't mind. I said, I don't think a 12-year-old should have a tattoo.
I don't think so, yeah.
I don't think he should have an earring either, but he's got that fake one that's got like a magnetized back on it that sometimes he'll wear and flip people out with.
Right.
So we finally got home to make all of this as short as possible. We got home. I was beat-ass tired. I got the kids, unpacked all the crap, got them in the house. I sat down, and I turned on the TV, and there's Jerry Maguire. Well, the movie had been on for a couple of minutes, and now I'm kicking back. I had a glass of wine,
mm-hmm.
pulled out a cigar, and I'm thinking, this is okay. At this point, my wife came in. My wife has been all day with her friends and with the decorator, and she comes into the house, and she's got a bunch of our friends with them,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Mm-hmm.
They've all obviously been out to dinner, had a couple of drinks. You know, they couldn't be happier. It's been another day of leisure for my wife.
And you're just kicking back, minding your own business.
Right, and they come in, and they all want to start talking right away, you know?
Mm.
Meanwhile, I wanted to say, you know, shut up, I'm watching the movie. But I couldn't say that because I'd seen Jerry Maguire before.
Of course. Even though it's a good enough movie where you could thoroughly enjoy it a second time around.
I hadn't seen it for a long time. So I hit the mute button. Mm-hmm. But, you know, then you get the stuff on the screen like if you're deaf, right?
Closed caption, right.
So I'm able to still follow the movie while the people are there and they're waiting and they're talking, blah, 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 blah. But finally they leave, okay? And I think, whoo! Now I can chill. Well, it's at this point that my wife, who's had a glass of wine also, this is the part in the movie when Jerry Maguire comes back.
Where he comes back with the divorce women's group.
Right. All those women are sitting around.
And he professes the love for his woman.
Yeah, and he's
kind of a pivotal scene in the movie.
I used to be good in a scene like this. I'm not complete without you and all
right,
that.
Right.
You know? Yeah, yeah. And it's at that point my wife comes over and I realize that, you know, it's a little bit of the wine talking, but she leans down and she goes, oh, I love you so much. I love you so much. And it was just pissing me off.
Why?
Because I had been with kids all day.
Right.
And I smelled like kids, and I was stressed out, and I was tired. And she's been off looking at armoires and all whatever she's doing there, looking for some kind of dresser for our bedroom.
It's she's in that moment of total euphoria.
She came
you
in.
You are not.
She came in. She sees the emotion on television.
Mm-hmm.
She sees on television the handsome young man who wears his heart on the sleeve, and she translates that to me.
Which is a good thing.
When in fact, though, I'm not that guy. I'm not. I'm just sitting there going, and she wouldn't stop it. And the more the movie went on, the more the happy stuff in the movie happened, the more that she wanted to sit next to me and go, oh, just let me sit next to you
here. Right.
Come here. Oh, you're my little Tom Cruise. Oh, she goes, oh, I love you. And I was doing this like, wow. Come on. Get out. I really had this going like, come on, stop it. I said, you're all boozed up and you're just being mushy because of this movie now. Now, you know, and I really have to do this, like push her away.
Yeah. You're thinking in the reality terms. You're not in that idealistic mood that the movie would put people in.
Right,
yeah,
right.
And you're realizing that tomorrow you're going to wake up and reality will be back.
Right, well, I wasn't even thinking about tomorrow. I was just thinking about right now. I was thinking all day, I'm with smelly, loud kids.
Mm-hmm.
You're out wearing your Bo Derek hat. You come in at the last minute and decide, hey, that looks pretty good on TV. I think I'll try that in real life.
So she's being a partner for you when it's convenient for her.
Yeah, well, she wants romance.
Mm-hmm.
Get a romance on demand, and I wasn't in the mood.
You weren't in that mode.
To deliver it. Yeah. So then we sat there, and then I really just put the knife right in my own back.
What'd you say?
She was still watching the movie with me. She's still trying to be real lovey-dovey with me, and I'm still like, come on, knock it off.
What did you say?
She's talking, and it's right towards the end of the movie. And she said, oh, I really love this movie. I remember when we went to see this movie. Do you remember? You really like this movie. You don't like Tom Cruise, but you like it. I said, listen, hey, shut up. I want to see the commercial. And she says, what commercial? And then I got mad, right? Then I said, wait, you don't know the commercial? I said, the commercial?
The commercial they're hyping.
Reebok paid millions of dollars to be in this commercial. The only thing that was said in the movie about Reebok was when he says, F Reebok. Mm-hmm. So Reebok sued Jerry Maguire, not Jerry Maguire himself, but the company.
Mm-hmm.
And as a settlement, they're putting in the commercial, the fake commercial that Cuba Gooding did, and it's going to run at the end of the movie. And I really want to see it. And then she looks at me, she says, you are pathetic. Go ahead. Watch it. Enjoy it.
Oh, my.
I was in a good mood when I came home. Boom! Door slam.
Oh, dear.
Then I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking, well, at least I'll get to see what I wanted to see. Except, you know, no big deal.
Oh, total letdown. So, I mean, what it...
No
what
big
it,
deal.
It was like a legitimate commercial.
Right.
It had nothing to do with...
It was a hollow victory.
It was really... There was nothing funny in it. It was just a dumb commercial.
And then, okay, now... At this point, it's 11 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Kids are to sleep in the other room.
Mm-hmm.
She's still in the bedroom with the door shut.
Right.
I'm still sitting out in the living room
right.
in my underpants going, well, now I feel romantic. So now I go, you know, I do this thing. I go, hey. Hey, honey, the door must be stuck. Hello.
Right.
Door must be stuck. Uh-huh. And I hear from way inside, it's stuck. It's locked.
Oh, God.
I said, come on. Hey, it's Jerry Maguire. It's Jerry Maguire. I wish it was Jerry Maguire. So now I'm stuck out there for another half hour,
oh, man.
40 minutes, until finally, you know, I don't know if she thought that I was going to fall asleep out there.
Right.
She broke. Mm-hmm. I like to think it's, you know, it's the battle of attrition.
Of course.
She broke.
You broke her.
I was sitting there watching TV,
right.
And all of a sudden I heard, just very slightly, click.
Mm-hmm.
The sound that says she let the lock go.
Right.
And I mean, I am there.
Right. You're in there as soon as you heard that click.
I am there, and I'm at the door. I go, hey, the door's not locked anymore.
Jerry Maguire's coming to bed.
Said, hey, it's me, Jerry Maguire. Then I had to get the whole, well, I was just, I'm in a good mood, and I went out with my friends, and why do you, but then, you know. It was all right. Worked out okay.
Good.
Everything worked out just fine.
Good.
Although she had to, you know.
The ups, the downs, it's roller coaster.
It's a battle the whole way because then she lets me back in the bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm laying in the bed and it's obvious that now I'm ready for the romance.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually said to her at one point, I said, hey, how would you like to shut that door? Yeah, that's kind of our cue.
Sure, after you kiss and make up, that's a good time for
it. How would you like to shut that door? And she goes, no thanks, Jerry. And she goes in the bathroom and shuts the door.
Yeah.
So then I'm sitting there. Listen, when you're married and your wife turns you down,
mm-hmm.
that's the worst feeling.
It's a terrible feeling.
Because you know what? Where else are you going to get it?
At that hour.
Nowhere.
What a horrible thing to say.
Well, maybe for you, Buzz, at the hour. But for me, the hour doesn't matter.
At that hour?
You know,
God.
If it doesn't happen, it's not going to happen.
Yeah. Right, right.
So then I'm sitting there, and then I'm just kind of, you know, feeling bad for myself, going, oh, you know, razzle, frazzle, what was the kids over there, razzle.
Riggins and rolls and reasonizes.
And then she said, okay.
And then it worked out.
Yeah.
You got what you wanted.
Good. Yeah, baby. Yeah, you got Sheraton. You bet. With my cigarette.
Oh, wow.
Worked out okay. But it's all because of Jerry Maguire.
Jerry Maguire.
If I would have had anything else on Saturday night, it wouldn't have mattered. You know, I wish I would have had Meet Wally Sparks or something on Saturday night. No.
Yeah.
I got to come. It's got to be Jerry Maguire right away. That's what my wife identifies with.
Yes.
Oh, so in love.
Sure.
He loves her. She loves him.
Hey.
Yeah, forget about it.
I'm sitting there, smelling, stinking. Kids all around, dogs all around, cat all around. Hello?
Now you know how it feels.
Pardon me?
But now you know how it feels. You should have cuddled with her, hugged her. She was feeling romantic. You should have just turned your sound down, you know, like you said you were. And talk to her, seeing what she wanted.
At what point did I ask for advice from anybody listening tonight?
But you know what? The same thing happens in my house all the time. I come in during football or sports center, and I'm like, oh, honey, you know, coming in from a night out or day out shopping or whatever. And he's like, not now. I got to listen to this.
Also, on behalf of your husband, who wants a woman who's only hot because she's been out drinking white wine or shopping? You know, so I get that some. Well, maybe that's all right with you, Buzz. I see you lifting your eyebrows. But
it makes me feel romantic because I'm out doing my thing, and he's watching the kid. And, you know, I think that's really special, and that gets me in a romantic mood, thinking that he's a big enough man to stay home, babysit.
Well, he's done his job, and then when you come home, he might have something that he's really looking forward to spending time alone watching, and you want to come in, and because you're in the mood, you're not taking his feelings into account.
Same thing with afterwards. Now, Dawn wanted to get a piece, and she's like, go see Jerry Maguire, and I totally agree with that.
Well, I ended up getting some, though.
Yeah, Frida wussed out.
What do you mean she wussed out?
Well, she shouldn't have gave in.
She shouldn't have give in?
No.
Why shouldn't she have give in? You never go to bed mad, right?
What?
Right. You never go to bed mad.
No, you don't.
Right. Two glorious people should be bonded together as one.
Absolutely.
So.
The ultimate expression of love.
That's right.
Not during Jerry Maguire.
I don't mind it during Jerry Maguire. Just don't come in and make it so that I'm Jerry Maguire and that you are Renee.
That's a girl thing, though.
Zimbardi or whatever her name is.
Thing.
And, you know, for the people that made Jerry Maguire, this whole thing could have been avoided if Jerry Maguire, towards the end of the movie, had just this huge scene.
Hello. Hello, Donna Mike.
All right, right now is the part where Jerry is going to stumble into the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders locker room.
But that's not what my wife did that pissed me off the most this weekend.
Really?
So we made it through all of it. Well, listen, hold on a second. We will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. The home of Howard Stern in the morning and Don and Mike in the afternoon. 106.7 WJFK.
At Budweiser, We've been brewing beer for over 100 years. And for just as long, we've been finding new ways to get it to you at its absolute freshest. Because fresh beer tastes better. And now we're taking freshness to the next level. Stay Fresh beer from Budweiser. Not only is it beer bottled less than 24 hours ago, it's beer that pushes the very envelope of freshness. One which no other beer can match. To show that fresh beer tastes better. So now, we're bringing America Day Fresh beer from Budweiser. Our Day Fresh beer crew is bringing it to bars and nightclubs in select cities all across the country. Look for cold, refreshing Day Fresh beer from Budweiser. It's one more reason we're the king of beers. It's why we wear the crown. Budweiser beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
You know, it seems these days, businesses large and small are asking their employees to dress more appropriately, preferably in suits, which, at Men's Warehouse, we think is a good idea. But for